James 4:7, we'll pick up from where we left off last week. I don't know that I'll get through all of this today, but we'll go as far as we can. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We looked up the words, we defined the words last week. Submit to God. Submit means to line up under. Therefore, line up under God. Line up under God. And then the resist, the word resist, means to take your stand against the devil. And then the Bible says he will flee from you. So line up under God's authority. There's some ways that you do life, that you've done life, that we've all done life. And before we came to the Lord and before we understood the word of God, we just made choices out of our own thinking, sometimes out of our cultural influences, what was taught by parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and neighborhood friends and the TV and the songs and the movies and all sorts of places that we receive messages and information that forms the way we think and then determines the way we act. Forms the way we think and determines the way we act. You will act on what you believe. If you hear something enough times, over and over and over again, you will find yourself responding. We talked about music last week. Use it as an illustration. You can just hear the melody, and then just hearing the melody, you will recall the words to songs. So it's a tool. That's why the Psalms were written, so that there was a repetitive singing of these words so that it would get into their hearts and it would get into their thinking, which would affect behavior. Thoughts affect behavior. So if you will submit to God, if you, in other words, you line up under God, or if you will take of what God has said and respond to that appropriately, properly. Take when you get a handle on truth or a principle, a kingdom principle, when you get your head wrapped around it, you want to treasure that and you want to treat it like gold. And you use that. It's one of the things, one of the elements that you will use to build your relationship with God. So James says the first order of business is to line up under God. Line up under him. When you line up under God, you're going to have to dismiss a whole lot of other stuff. The challenge is making the trade-off. Taking some things that you believe to be true, even if you were taught it in church. When you see that there are some things that may not be as it was thought. Listen, even when you talk about Bible scholars, if you pick up a commentary, how many have a commentary? Let me see your hand. How many of you have ever used a commentary? Let me see your hand. Okay, for those of you who not use commentaries, then make sure that you attend these Bible classes. And then also when we have how to study the Bible, make sure you attend those too, because they are good tools. Commentary is a book with comments made by those who have done the research to study out what the Bible has said. It includes digging into the original language. The Bible is written in both Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, all of those. And so the original language that was used to interpret the words, many times in the process of interpretation, words were misinterpreted. And so that's why you have various versions of the Bible, because sometimes it's been made clearer, not always just wrong in its misinterpretation, but just like we have the words in our English language, two, and two. Sometimes in their haste, instead of T-O, they put T-O-O. And then someone came later and said, oh, they missed, so they put T-O in the place where it should be, or T-O-O in the place where it should be, to correct the situation. Now, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's a process. So even with these scholarly guys, you have various opinions about things in terms of how they think it should be, based on their study, in most cases based on who taught them how to study. And so they have different viewpoints, different perspectives. So it's a continuing process of learning, digging into the Word of God. It's a continual process. Now, the smart ones will approach a passage, will commiserate with others, and realize in certain instances that maybe, oh, we didn't get that right. That's the wrong 2-0. And then they'll go ahead and they'll replace the 2. Then you have the stubborn kind. Do you know anybody in your life that you'll tell the correct way to do something, but because they've done it incorrectly for so long, they refuse to change? You know people like that? I thought I was the only one. And you can tell them, you can even correct them. You know, it's like the misuse of words in talking, right? And you say, well, no, that's pronounced this way. And then the next time you talk to them, they pronounce it the same old way. And then you come back and you say again, no, that's pronounced this way. And then, well, no, what? And so then after about the third time, you just forget it and just let it go. You say, okay, that's the way you like to say that. That's fine. Okay. Or somebody calls you the wrong name. You know, they call me Reggie. Reggie. Okay. No, my name is Nolan. No, Reggie. Okay. And they keep it. So you just, okay, I'm Reggie. How you doing? So submitting to him, right? Lining up under him means there's a constant evaluation of what you think and what you believe and why you think it and why you believe it. And on the point of belief, you have to understand that with belief comes pride. So because you believe it so strongly and you've said it so many times, and then you've convinced others of it being true as well, it's difficult to rewind and say, you know what? I may not have gotten that right. It's tough for people. I used to preach that it was only men who had freedom of choice. Angels didn't have that, just men. But then I said, well, wait a minute. That can't be true. So I had to correct and adjust my theology to accept what I discovered as I dug a little deeper and as I learned to listen to the scripture instead of talk to them. That's a discipline too. Listen to what the scripture say. You talk to the scripture based on what you think you know. When you listen to the scripture, you can be adjusted. So the first order of business, submit to God, line up under God. Then it says, now resist the devil. Resist. We learned last week that resistance doesn't mean that you take a defensive posture and that, you know, you're anticipating him to come at you and so you resist. No, we learned that the word actually means to take a stand against him. So it's more aggressive and more of an offensive posture that you're assuming. So you see, but it's two pieces there. You don't have just one or the other. Some people want to just submit to God and then let God fight their battles. But that's not what the scripture says. Some people want to fight the devil, but not submit to God. Some people want all the hell to lead their life, but they don't want to do anything God says to do. Sort of like children, right? So you have to do both. You need both pieces. There's an A and a B side to this 45. See, when you want to talk in code, they always trying to talk in code with us with their little rap music. Whatever, States. I'm just keeping 100. So it says now when you resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. He'll flee. He'll run from you. The word actually says he will vanish or he will escape. He will escape. When you escape something, you know, that means you're on lock, right? You escape. Houdini, he get all the padlock and go underwater, you know. He had to escape. He had to work to escape. The Bible says that when you submit to God, when you line up under God, listen now, when you line up under him, and then you purposely take it with aggression to the devil, he will look for ways out. He will search for the exit sign. Sometimes there's hell going on in your life only because you just didn't do the two. You haven't submitted to God, and you're running from the devil instead of resisting, instead of taking it to him. The only reason he's hanging around because there's no resistance. The only reason he's hanging around is because no one's decided to stand on the principles. So first of all, to seek to understand the principles, and then to seek to possess the principles, and then to be determined to walk by the principles. When a person has done that, that's a very strong house. It's not going to be shaken by winds and rain and storm. That house stands. So it's wonderful. Look at Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. This is Jesus being tempted by the devil to do what he shouldn't be doing. You ever been tempted to do what you shouldn't be doing? Every once in a while. And I especially, you know what, there's two areas of life that I especially wished that believers would take this kind of position, this kind of stance. Two areas. One is in their family relationships. Husband, wife, children, extended family, okay? Secondly is in the church. Because these two areas take the hit the greatest because of an unwillingness to submit to the ways of God and an unwillingness to take a stand and get aggressive toward the enemy in family and in church. Because if we do that right, I promise you, a lot of things will change. You know, those are the two strongest foundations that hold this whole thing up in terms of the kingdom of God being made manifest in the earth. Those two areas. If those two areas are messy and raggedy and not tight, then it leaves all sorts of room for the enemy to dance his dance and do his thing. When we lock down those two, it's a tight squeeze. He's looking for a place to escape. He's looking to get out of there. So Jesus was tempted, right? If Jesus was tempted, you could be tempted. And Jesus was tempted to disobey, to not line up, to not submit. Jesus was tempted to not submit. But he's not the first. Adam was also tempted in the same fashion to not submit. One of the tools that the enemy used for Adam and Eve is an old rusty tool that you find in an old rusty toolbox out back behind Grandpa's shed. Still using it. He still goes back in that toolbox and gets that rusty tool and uses it, and it still works. If I can get you to believe that the only reason the preacher would preach that message is because he wants to manipulate you to get you to do something that would benefit him, then you will discount the word You won't put it in the right place. You will never submit to it. You will always cherry pick what's said, and you will simply go on living life based on whatever it is that you live life on before the truth was ever introduced to you. Did you get that picture? It's what he did with Adam and Eve. Say, you know, have the Lord say it? Let me just allow you for a moment to just question just a little bit what the Creator said, what the architect said, you know? Happens with the construction of buildings. I was just talking to somebody who said they had all kind of problems out of a building because the architects, the plans looked one way, but by the time the engineers on ground got it, they started making adjustments, and it became a hot mess. I was talking to Bishop Makato in Nigeria. I said, you know, you have some of the most brilliant people in this country, and it's very true. A lot of your doctors, your lawyers, architects, brilliant. He said, but by the time it gets down to the laborer, it doesn't matter what was on the original paper. They messed it up. You understand? We can do that with the word. We can do that same thing with truth. You take what was actually stated in Scripture, this is exactly what's stated, and you start to fool with it, to modify it, to fit your comfort, because you say, well, we don't have that piece of equipment to actually fabricate that in that way. So instead of doing it the way the architect said it should be done, we'll just go ahead and make some adjustments. We'll modify it a little bit. Here's a true story for you. I'm in a hotel in Nigeria. Now, I have to just tell you this story. You have to go with me on this and be okay, all right? But they had the restroom. But anytime I went to the restroom and I had to sit, my feet would be in the shower. So it puzzled me. I thought, okay, now is it the size of the room? How is it that when I sit, I have to put my feet in the shower? I mean, so I looked, and I mean, it was a simple matter of just turning the toilet this way. So I asked Bishop McConnell, I said, come into my room. When I sit here, my feet, I said, sit down. So he put his feet in there, and this is a mess. And he explained to me what happened. He said, this wasn't designed that way. But by the time it got to the guy who was to install, listen, he didn't pay attention to the blueprints. He did what he thought should be done based on his own experiences. Now, for him, seriously, it was probably okay to have a toilet. If he even had a toilet. No, seriously. It could be part of it. So I'm painting that whole picture to say this. You know, the way we hear what God has to say to us, it's processed through our experiences, our exposure, our previous teaching, our culture, our family, culture, all of that. And so you start to make choices based on this collection and mosaic of information where you have been given teachers to make it plain, to make it clear, so that you can take the word of God in its rawest form and apply it to your life and utilize it and have the toilet going in the right direction in your life. But you got to stick with the blueprint. I'm reading the blueprint, and I'm reading it with you. That's why I say, bring your Bible. Don't come and just listen to me. Adopt the spirit of the Bereans. Hear it. Get excited. That's wonderful. I'm getting a lot of wonderful amens this morning. But go back behind me and make sure I'm not lying to you. And it may not be a lie because I want it to be a lie. Maybe that I didn't look up the 2, 2, and 2. So you go look up the 2, 2, and 2. And you say, oh, you know what? He just missed that. But I got it. Are y'all following what I'm saying today? The first Adam messed up because he started to entertaining these other thoughts. Now, this is a day where you have to really be careful. There's so much stuff out there now. You can Google. There's a lot of Google Christians these days. The preacher preached that out. I Googled him. And the Google contradicted everything he said. It's because you got Billy Bob over in the corner all by himself with thoughts, and he puts it on a piece of paper, and he Wikipedia's it. And you come out wicked out because you done Googled something that's not right. You ever Google something and it looked so right, looked so real, and you even got the fake news sites now, and you thinking, and then folk, and then some of y'all get on there and repost the stuff on Facebook, say, yeah, old Billy Bob dead. Billy Bob ain't dead. I just saw Billy Bob over at the fish spot. You know, he's not. So Adam and Eve, they entertained stuff. The mixture, the impurity, they took it and mixed it up with the truth, and as a consequence, they came out empty-handed. That was the first Adam. Then Jesus is referred to as the, not the second, but the last Adam. So the first Adam, he heard the word and then heard the voice of the enemy who tried to toy with the word a little bit and toy with his belief and cast doubt on the words that he had spoken. And he failed miserably. First Adam, he blew it. He failed. He was unable to achieve what he was designed to achieve. His purposes were never fulfilled because he flirted with error. He flirted with the doubt, with the question mark. But the last Adam submitted fully to his God. The last Adam lined up so much so that he said, I will never say anything of my own origin, but I will only speak what I heard from my Father. I got my own thoughts about the way church should go. Now, I got thoughts about the way things should go. And I got to get to the book, though. I got to get to the book and find out, now, how is it really done? That's why when people come, there are certain things we don't do. And people say, well, I don't know what's wrong with that church. They don't do this, and they don't do that, and they don't do this way. They don't do this that way. Well, first of all, the origin of it isn't what you think. You're assuming that it's biblical because you saw it repeated.
That's right.
Just because you saw it repeated doesn't mean that it was ever biblical. And then some will say, well, but it's been so many years, for generations. Longevity does not guarantee authenticity. You could do the wrong thing for a long time. So we just try to make the adjustment. If you look on the website, you see our core values. One of them you'll see is change. It says if I find out that what I'm doing is wrong, or I discover that there's a better way in the word, or then we just make the adjustment. And when we make the adjustment, we're okay. I posted on Facebook this week, last week or whatever. I said, does anybody else have a problem with the fact that you can't find the sinner's prayer in the Bible? The sinner's prayer. You know how many times that's been used? How many of y'all repeated the sinner's prayer to give your life to the Lord? Come on, let me see your hand. Tell the truth, shame the devil. The sinner's prayer. Dear Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Oh, all of those? That's the sinner's prayer. It's not in the Bible. Right. I know, right? That's what I said. Like, what? I probably shouldn't have dug that one up, but I mean, it's not to say that we don't ask forgiveness. We do. But it's a process, you know. You realize some things. You realize some things. You come to know God. People come to know God, they don't need a formula. Your heart connects to it. You realize, wait a minute, there's something good about this. And then you start to seek him. You start to So look in the Word and you start to talk to him. You start to talk to him and you say, well, how many of y'all just talked to him? Say, Lord, I sure would like to know you better. Anybody else had that talk? Let me see your hand. You had that talk? I sure would like to know you a little better. That's not the prayer of a sinner, per se. You understand? That's the voice of someone who's seeking to be converted. They came up on the folk. Who was it came up? Was it Peter and the guys came up on the guys in the book of Acts, worshiping the unknown God? And he just said, oh, okay. See, they're crying out of their hearts for God. The evangelicals would have given them a formula to get there. He didn't give them a formula. He just got in the middle of what they were already doing in their quest for God and said, now, you know, I got the name of the guy you're looking for. His name is Jesus. That's who you're looking for. I know him personally. I know a guy. And you got the first base in that you wanted him. Now, let me get you to second base and third base. I'm going to sit here with you for a while, teach you more about him, and teach you how you can go. Are y'all with me today? So, first Adam refused to submit. Second Adam, or last Adam, sorry. Last Adam, Jesus. Submitted fully. Would only repeat what he heard from the Father. Can you imagine how difficult that is? Think about living your life, and anytime someone asks you a question about life, you never gave your opinion. You never gave your opinion. You only said what you heard the Father say. Man, what would that look like in your house? What would that look like in the church? Because I tell you right now, I can just ask a question right now and we can get 50,000 opinions and we don't even have 50,000 people here. So the last Adam did something that we got to take note of and we got to practice it in our own lives, and that is we got to really just stop talking out of our heads. We got to stop saying stuff to ourselves and to others that is inconsistent with what the Father has said, because that's the way to success in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about hocus pocus confessions either, where you just say something over and over again to where stuff changed. No. Some folks say if you just repeat, don't say you're sick, because if you say you're sick, then you're just owning it. No. The test said I'm sick. That's what just happened. I got a diagnosis. But the difference between you getting the diagnosis and me getting the diagnosis is that there's a greater physician who has the last word. So I'm just going with that. Because what he says matters more than what they said. Now, how he fixed the situation is his business. It's not my business. If the word over here says, you know, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, then I'm afflicted. I got afflicted. Jesus got afflicted. Paul got afflicted. Locked up, chained up to a man, writing with one hand, trying to still bless the church. That's an affliction. Oh, y'all getting this today? I feel God working on this one. I can see the light bulbs just right on. So, if Jesus only said what he heard, we got to start practicing that. What did the word say about that, man? What did the word say? Forget about how I feel. I told the people this Wednesday, I said, listen, we're going to do what the Bible said. The Bible says that we can speak with other tongues. And it gives the reasons why we have examples of it occurring. We see varied ways, and we even see people being refilled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's what the book says, I ain't got time to sit here and argue with the book. Now, I may argue with some theologian's opinion of that scripture, but then I take what the book says and I add it to what I've seen and experienced, not experienced without the word, what it says and what I've experienced. That's, you know, back in the day, that was show and tell. Y'all remember show and tell? Okay, still I'm talking code for the young ones now. So I just want to say what he said. If I say what he said, it nets me some results. Jesus said what his father said. So let's just go here. Then I can almost sit down. Because, I mean, I've hit the nail on the head. I think we got this for today. Again, verse 8 of chapter 4 of Matthew. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. What did Jesus say? Away with you, Satan, for it is written. Who wrote it? He said, no, let me just tell you what my father's already said about what you just said. I'm not even entertaining. He didn't entertain it. He didn't, you know what he did? He immediately, listen, mounted a resistance. He lined up under what God said, and then he took it to him. What did he say? Away with you? Away with you? The next thought you get that's against the thoughts that God gave you, you just say away with you thought. When you come in and you hear the word of God, let me tell you something. The devil wants to rob you of the truth that you receive. See, he can blind the folk in the world. He can't blind you. You can blind yourself. You can put the blindfold on. That happens with just rebellion and disobedience. You just decide, I don't want to hear what God tells me because it's inconvenient. It's inconvenient for me to hear what God said. If I hear what God said, I got to change. It's inconvenient and it's uncomfortable, and in most cases, it's untimely because I already had something set up to go that direction. So now I got to slow down and rework my whole program just because God said something. And we sit, even in the church, we sit, we hear the word. And I mean, we negotiate with the word. We do. And then all you need is one person in the room that likes flirting with the devil's conversation to plant a seed and to help you to follow through with your rebellion. That's what happened with Peter and Jesus in their conversation. The attempt was for Satan to manipulate Peter by using words that had nothing to do with what God said, to whisper it to Jesus, to get Jesus to begin to flirt with it and to begin to consider it and to do something that was against the will of God. But immediately, what did he do? He resisted Peter and said, get behind me. Yeah. So he says, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So here's Jesus demonstrating willful obedience. He said, then the devil did what, y'all? What did he do? He vanished. He escaped. He got away. He got met with resistance. And it caused discomfort. And he knew he was wasting his time. He knew it was time to move on. to somebody who was willing to listen, because clearly this one had come armed and dangerous, because he knew what the Father had said. He understood why the Father said it. And even if he didn't get complete clarity, he had enough trust in the voice of his Father that he would follow through, and he would say, "No, sir, that is not the way this is done. God said to do it this way. I will do it this way and this way only. Be gone." You told somebody out of a, you know, with a little attitude, "Get on away from me." You ever told anybody, get on away from me? And if you didn't tell them, you heard it told you. Get on away from me. The thing to note here is this. Check it out. Both Adams had access to the same knowledge. Both Adams had access to the same information. Both Adams sit in the same worship church service at 13300 Route 59, Harvest Church Plainfield, a place for you. Both Adams sit right there and glean all of the same truth, and both Adams made separate decisions about what they would do with the truth that they received. Each made their own independent choice about what they would do with what they heard. So there's the deal. There's the bottom line. You get your eyes open, what will you do with the truth? When it's revealed, how are you going to treat this? You see? So the key for us, come on, Miss Tally, I'm going home now. They got a new chicken shack up the road. We're going to do this. The key is to make a choice now. Two things, real simple from today's message. Two things. Submit, resist. Submit, resist. In that order. Submit, resist. Submit, resist. You can't have one and not have the other. This is an A and a B selection. Submit, resist, line up, take a stand, line up, take a stand. Come on, say it with me now. Line up, take a stand. I don't have time to do it my way anymore. We got things to do. We got places to go. We got lives to change, nations to impact. Line up. Take a stand. Amen. 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 God bless you.